Jonathan Fall, thank you to be with us today.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here.
We had the Paris Europlus Forum 2012, and we're talking about with you about, I think, the main subject in Europe, growth, austerity, how Europe can reform growth. What do you think about the last weekend? We know from investors that every European summit, it's a key issue because there is nothing after. Do you think that we have a better view from what Europe can do?
Yes, I think we do. We should not expect miracle solutions from every meeting in Europe, but this was an important meeting. It was the first meeting of your new president. And it was a meeting at a period of great difficulty for the European economy. And it was a long night, took all night, but important decisions were taken. And in the banking field, for example, for which I'm responsible under the authority of Michel Barnier in the European Commission, we are now very busy working out exactly how to give effect to the leaders' decision to create a supervisory mechanism, a single supervisory mechanism for banks. There are lots of decisions to be taken. Are we talking about the euro area alone? Are we talking about the wider European Union? Which banks? But the decision in principle has been taken that in the European Central Bank there will be a supervisory function which will conduct supervision for banks in Europe, and that is extremely important.
Mm-hmm. So the banking system, the bank sector will have a solution to but more control. What is the main things?
The main point is there are two things that need to be done. One is to restore discipline, confidence in our banks across the European Union, and secondly, to break this negative spiral, this negative loop between banks and states. If we help banks, we make life more difficult for states because the money is ultimately provided through the states. Banks have large holdings of sovereign debt, which we used to tell them were the best possible, safest possible investment, and now they turn out not to be safe. So we must deal with that. And one way to deal with it is to continue the work to recapitalize the banks which need more capital and to improve the way in which banks are regulated and supervised.
Mm-hmm. If we are talking to people outside of this meeting room, people say that the ECB helped the banks and nothing changed in the economy, in the European economy. So the ECB lets windows open, but nothing changed.
Well, it would have been much worse if the ECB had not done that. That's what I think people need to understand. But it doesn't solve all our problems. We have deep-rooted problems of competitiveness in many of our countries, and we need to find a way to sustainable growth and job creation. Of course, what worries people most is jobs, employment, and that means economic growth. We cannot be the first generation for a very long time to leave the world in a worse state for our children than it was when we found it. And that's what we risk, not only in Europe, by the way. This is a problem affecting many other countries, but we have specific problems in Europe, but we have specific opportunities and mechanisms to deal with the problems. It's 27 countries, 27 democracies, so decision-making is not very fast. You can't impose ideas on democratic sovereign countries. They have to be taken in a process of discussion and debate in the European Council and among ministers and ultimately prime ministers and presidents. And we're getting there.
Mm-hmm. Your agenda, the Agenda 2020, was talking about boosting economy and source of economic growth. So find restoring consumer confidence, we're talking about that, but find new source of growth, in fact. How you can do it in this crisis environment?
Well, in a number of ways. We must maintain the important long-term financing of our economy and of our infrastructure. But above all, we have one thing in Europe which doesn't cost a lot of money, and that is a single market. We have a single market across 27 countries, 500 million people, 500 million people, and we can do more to make sure that we take full advantage of the wide territory in which we can now do business. Consumers can consume, investors can invest, businesses can buy and sell things across this wide continental market. That's what the Chinese have, it's what the Americans have, it's what we have never had before. So we have made great progress in some areas of the single market. The physical products and goods move around among our countries much more easily than they did 20, 30 years ago. We all see that every day. But it's not true of services, and it's not true in the digital market. It is still expensive and sometimes impossible to download services across borders in Europe. That is completely unacceptable.
Mm-hmm. There is a huge subject in France about automotive sector. It's clearly a competitiveness subject for Europe. If you compare automotive French automotive companies, German, they are in the same union, but they didn't have the same price, the same and the same realization. So how you can, if the competitive is between two countries, how you can move and to adapt each country to have the same competitiveness?
Well, each country, we are still separate countries. Each country has its own traditions, its laws, its ways of doing things. And what we have seen in the car market, in which I'm not a specialist, I have to say, is a certain specialization. The Germans seem to do very well at the high end of the market, the luxury car segment. The French make very good, very successful, smaller cars, as do the Italians and others. That's a simplification, but I think that's largely true. We're in a world market. We sell these cars to each other. We sell them all over the world. The big growing markets in the world are in the emerging countries. That's where we have huge opportunities. We do have to be competitive because we're not alone. We compete with each other, but we compete with the Japanese and the Koreans and the Americans and everybody else. So we must pay attention to the competitiveness of our industry, but we have considerable advantages. A long-standing tradition, good designers, good engineers. We have not... we're not giving up in the car market.
Mm-hmm. Industry is the key issue. We have to think about how our industry can survive in competitiveness by China, by other country. Europe can have industry in the we were talking about our children in the next 10 years, 15 years.
Of course it can. It is certainly the case that our labor costs and our social welfare costs are higher than many other countries in the world, but that's a good thing. We pay our workers properly and we have good social welfare systems. We have to compete on technology, on design, using our brains. But we have brains in Europe and we have fine universities and colleges and schools. We have to innovate, we have to add value, but I think we have shown we can do that. People have been arguing about that. Remember the défi américain and the défi japonais. How many times have we heard people say 10, 15 years' time Europe will not produce anything? Of course that's not true. But we have to react, and we have to react now.
Mm-hmm. Maybe to finish this interview, how your job, in fact, is to tell us that you have to love Europe. How you can say to people here or in Europe, say, okay, you have to love Europe. Europe is the future, is your future.
Well, I don't try to make you love me, but I try to earn your respect. It remains my conviction personally, and I think that is generally the view of all of my colleagues in the European Commission, that our countries alone will find it very difficult to make an impact on today's and tomorrow's world. If we Europeans, who have so much in common with each other, work together through our common institutions, we can find solutions. The problems of the world are big ones today. We have forgotten issues like the environment, climate change, but they remain important. We have to negotiate trade agreements with the rest of the world. If we do that together, we have much more impact than if we try and do it separately.
Jonathan Paul, thank you to have been with us today.
Thank you.